Tell the one beside of you, you look good today. Tell the one beside of you, you look rough today, okay? Try that. Amen. Man, that Jennifer, that was just awesome. That was just beautiful. You know, we may not have thousands here, but we got some talented people in this place. I want to share something with you today. I'm always excited to be able to be a part of God's plan for Northview. I love what I do, and I thank Him for the privilege of being able to do it. And I'm so happy that I serve a real God. This is not a statue, not a format, not just a ritual we go through and hoping that quite possibly something might be real out there. We serve a real God. And I want you to know that this book right here, we call the Bible, is full of imperfect people in real situations and a God bringing them out of it. That's all this book's about. It's not about perfection. It's not about, well, if you achieve this level, then heaven's yours and all that. There's a thief in heaven today because he just simply looked over there and said, Lord, remember me. I'm not worthy, but just remember me. So I love this book because this book deals with life. This book deals with imperfect people in an imperfect world and how to deal with it. And so I was studying and I have something today. I pray that it will cause you to think and minister to you. And we're going to try to finish today. If we don't, we just, whatever the Lord wants, that's what we'll do. But I want you to go to the book of Ephesians. I want to talk about today understanding anger. I want to talk about anger. I want to talk about understanding anger. And when I was studying the Word, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 is where we're going to look at today. But I begin to think about the prison epistles. Now what that means is that Paul, who wrote this book, was an imperfect person. How many of you know that? Paul was a murderer. He did things wrong. I mean, I'd never murdered anybody, but he did. He was the one who held the garments while they stoned Stephen. I mean, he had a past. But God doesn't care about your past. He's only interested in your future. He doesn't care what happened. He's not interested in that. That's the reason when He forgives you, He's not interested in all that stuff. Because He is a God that loves us unconditionally. And so, when I begin to study about Paul, Paul wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And we call them the prison epistles because actually what happened was, these are letters that he wrote from prison. Paul is sitting in a prison. And when you study the context of what prison was back then, it was very horrible conditions. 9 times out of 10, the sewage line ran right through the prison cells. It was dark. It was dismal. It was muddy. It was just ugly. Stench everywhere. So it wasn't a good place to be. And so if anybody had an opportunity to be angry, Paul had an opportunity to be angry. He could have been really, really angry with situations because here's the deal. On the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, you know, come into my life, all that stuff. And so he changed his life. And, you know, we would think, well, you know, you change your life for the Lord. Everything's just roses and you don't have any more problems. And everything is just wonderful. How many of y'all know that's not true? Because we still live in a real world. But the difference is, when you know God is your Savior, it's not anything about perfection. It is about a perfect love that He loves you beyond anything you can do or ask, and He will never leave you. And when you're struggling with you, how many ever struggle with you? You struggle with yourself. He's right there with you. He's there to help you. And so, Paul's writing that, and I felt it's so important when you study the Bible, understand, just don't pick a scripture out and just start reading it. Understand what's going on with that scripture. Understand the context of it. So in your mind now, see this man. He's been beaten. He was treated very, very unfairly. He's sitting in a prison, did nothing to do, nothing, no reason why he should be there. But he's there. And so he writes this. Do you think, before I get ahead of myself, He was human, so you got to understand there had to be times when he wanted to be angry. So I want to talk about anger this morning. Maybe we can all understand a little bit more about it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth." Now, one thing you'll note about how Paul wrote his letters, he always begins with doctrine. How many of you knows what doctrine is? Doctrine is just simply, well, that's what a church believes. No, doctrine is the foundation of the Word of God. And we as a church do believe that, but doctrine is about truth. Amen? And if you build your life on truth, it won't be a sinking sand. It'll stand the test of time, right? So, if you study his letters, all of them are similar to that, and they talk about doctrine. And then, after he talks about doctrine, he talks about how to live according to that doctrine. So that's what I love about Paul's writing. So, in verse 25, he says, "Putting away lying, and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Now, what he's calling to do is, see, there's a lot of discourse going on, a lot of backbiting going on, a lot of anger going on as he writes this letter. And so he's trying to get the people to understand, put away all those things you're hearing and start doing what's right. All right? Verse 26 says, "Be ye angry." I want to stop right there. We think that because we're servants of God, we're Christians or whatever, we go to church, whatever, we're never to be angry. I'm going to tell you something about anger today. Anger is a part of life. Anger is a part of you being a human being. You are a, when you ask the Lord to come in your heart, you're ready for heaven right then, and he's ready. But until you get there, guess what? You got to deal with flesh, right? And flesh has emotions. And anger is a part of emotions. Anger is a part of the makeup of life. He didn't say, I just want you to see what he's saying. Be angry. So what he's saying here is that anger is going to come in your life at some point. At some point, you're going to be angry. But there's a way to handle anger that takes process. All right? Be angry and sin not. So, is there a way you can be angry and not sin? Evidently so, because that's what he's saying right here. Are you thinking? See, you thought you were going to sleep this morning, but now you're curious. Now you're curious about what I'm going to say, so I'm messing up your sleep time, all right? He says, be angry, but don't sin. And look at the next part. Now this gets me here because there's times I wanted to be angry. I enjoyed being angry. I love being angry because that's what I was. I was angry. What are you angry at? I'm just mad. Amen. Kick the dog, fuss the cat out, and all that stuff. What he said right here, don't let the sun go down on your anger, on your wrath. Well, that's powerful right there. Now, that's one of them scriptures we wish it wasn't in there. We wish we could just erase that out, but it's there. So it tells me there is a way to live. Now, you're going to be angry. There's no need to say you're going to walk around. And you know, I've heard these preachers preach that they've been married for X amount of years and they've never had an argument. They've never had a false word. And I'm over there gagging in the corner, throwing up, because I know that's just not life, you know. You know, we men understand that the longevity of life is saying, yes, ma'am, and I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am, and I'm sorry. Amen. We learned that. Okay, if you ain't learned that, you better learn. But he's saying here, you're going to be angry, but there's a way to be angry and not sin. And so learn to deal with anger, because what's going on? He's writing this letter, and all these so-called Christians are at one another. They're backbiting one another, trying to tear one another apart. He's sitting in prison, a man that could be angry, and he's trying to reach out to them and say, hey, chill out, calm down. You need to get a grip on what's going on in your life. Yeah, you're going to be angry, but there's a way to understand anger in your life. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever been angry, but we know we all have. So God tells us that, yeah, you're going, it's going to happen, but here's how you deal with it. Now look at verse 26. It says, be angry, sin not. Don't let the sun go down your wrath. I like verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Because how many times has our lives been transformed or changed or ruined forever because we got mad at something, situation, jobs, people, family, whatever? I want us to understand anger this morning. And the thing about it, I want you to understand, I don't know how far I'll go today because my time's running out, but I really want you to get this. You know, I love God that He speaks to me in real terms. And I love to give you stuff that's real, something you can use when you leave here. That's what I want. When I go hear somebody minister, I want you to tell me something I can use when I leave here. All right? So understanding anger is the real thing that you need to understand about anger is this. How do we process that anger? Well, if I'm going to get angry, and I know I'm going to get angry, I know anger is going to come at me sometime or another, how do I process that anger? Well, I love definitions, so I just begin to Google. Thank God for Google. You know, probably Google in heaven. You know, I don't know. Thank God for it. But you Google anything. And I said, what is anger? And you get all kind of definitions. So here's what I come up with. Anger is a couple of things. One, it's annoyance. It's when you get annoyed. Anybody ever been annoyed in here? You annoy me, you know. Annoyance, and here's the other thing, hostility. Now that's real right there. Hostility's real because you see, he says here when he's talking about anger, don't give place to the devil, because it's so easy when you get angry to get out of control. I'm not just talking about physically, I'm talking about mentally too. You know how the devil loves to feed your mind? Well, they don't like you, you don't look good, you're ugly, you know. You got to face all that mama could love, and then she's doubting her love for you now and all this kind of stuff. You know, that's how the devil loves to do. How many of you know we serve a war game in our minds? But as I begin to study anger, one thing that I've learned in life is that there's a psychology of every one of us, and every one of us deal with practically about the same things. But anger is annoyance and hostility. And here's one thing I've learned that is true about anger. Underneath anger is always, unequivocally, pain. Pain. Can I tell you this today, that people in America are hurting today? Can I tell you, and I don't know what's going on in your lives today, but I bet you there's some pain involved somewhere. Pain. Underneath anger is pain. Now, anger is not always a bad sign. Anger can be a good sign if you look at it in different ways, but because it shows that you're alive and it shows you actually care. You care enough about the situation that it's made you angry. It annoyed you. It's hostility comes in. But one thing I want you to note as we lay out the foundation, pain is real. When somebody hurts you, when a job hurts you, when people hurt you, when life hurts you, it is real. And the next reaction is anger, because underneath anger is pain. Now here, I want to break this down so you'll understand a little bit better what I'm trying to say. We won't get beyond the first point today, but I want to just give you the first point. Number one, identify why you get angry. Identify why you get angry. Now, we already know that anger is a part of life. We already know God said that you can be angry and you don't have to get wrapped up in sin. You just got to learn it. Please get this word in your mind. Process it. Somebody said something. Something happened. And most times it just happens like that. And before you know it, you're offended. And before you know it, you're going through situations. They told you on your job, you're not going to get that promotion. We're going to give it to somebody for less money and less knowledge and all. And, you know, you just learn to live with it if you want to work here. Blah, blah, blah. You know how life is. And anger sets in. But I got to identify, why did I get angry? Now, underneath anger is sadness and fear. And I want to tell you something. Did you know anger can impact your physical body? Did you know anger can attack your body as far as heart rate, blood pressure, diseases, all that things? Do you know that it can cause intestinal problems, stomach issues, when you bottle stuff in and you're just boiling on the inside and you just live each day in just a constant grind? Do you know that's the enemy's way of just destroying you? Amen? As we're talking about identifying why I get angry, the first thing that comes to my mind is that anger is protection. See, if I get angry, it will help me cover up pain. It will help me cover up that pain, and it will help me protect me from getting hurt again. Now, that's one of the first things that we say when we get angry. Well, I'm gonna build this wall up. I'm going to do this because I'm not going to allow you to hurt me again. So you see, when that begins to happen, we begin to get on deadly ground right there, because the enemy wants to isolate you from people, from things, from every situation. And you say, let's say a person hurt you, or a job hurt you, or a boss man hurts you, and every boss man you ever see from here on out, you're going to judge him and you're going to condemn him before you even know him. Why? Because you're protecting yourself. I want to tell you, anger is a way that we say, we justify, listen to me now, we justify that I'm good, I'm good. How you doing? I'm good. I got this thing. No, what you're saying is I'm pushing everybody else away, and I'm not going to trust anybody. Am I preaching to the right congregation this morning? Has anybody received anything out of this morning? Because, see, that's what happens to us. We cover up our fear, we cover up our pain, we cover up our sadness, and we've learned how to live a life of role play. Well, how you doing? I'm doing great. I'm great. I mean, almost in a aggravated voice. I'm great. Why are you asking? Oh, I'm sorry. Just, you know, good morning. Can I get you a latte? Hello? I mean, can I help you out? Chill out. You know. Good. You know. Okay. And I've done that. I've been angry before, and I just build up my own little world. Okay, I can handle this. I can handle this. I'm just going to hate him forever. I'm going to hate her forever. I'm just going to hate jobs forever. I'm going to do this. And you know, all you're doing is ruining your own life. Identify why you get angry. Now, here's something I want you to put right there. I want you to be real now. All right? Let's be real. We're in church. What is it that triggers you? Why do you get angry? What triggers your anger? Every one of us has got triggers. Okay, if you don't understand the word trigger, let's use buttons. Have you got any buttons? I've had people tell me, well, they know how to hit my button. You know what I'm talking about? We all got buttons. So, what kind of buttons are they? Example. Well, let me tell you one of my buttons. I've been in time management all my life, been in management most of my life, and I'm just kind of OCD when it comes to management. I like things done right, and I like things done on time and all this stuff. So, one issue I have with people is a lack of time management. Can I be real this morning? Your preacher's being real today, okay? It really bothers me if you're supposed to be at work at 6:30 and you drag in at 9:45. It bothers me. Amen? I really have a problem with that. And I really have, you know I need to be a lot sweeter and nicer, you know, and I really do try to be. Hello? I do try to be. But, you know, that's my button. So I need to learn, what is it? Why does that make you so mad? Why does that get you so upset? And then I have to start analyzing. This message really helped me start understanding my feelings, because I've always tried to push myself, and maybe you are that way too, And we just push, but life isn't always perfection. Life doesn't always, some people do have a flat tire. Some people are late for things. Appreciate that this morning, brother. It helps me. We get late for things. So my expectations is this. I'm talking about my button now. And have you ever woke up, or have you ever got your routine messed up during the day, or maybe you were held up by a train, or maybe you were held up by a flat tire or whatever, and your whole day was messed up? Because you are one that kind of likes to have things in order. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that, but we just have to do it within limits so things don't go according to our plans. All right, what is your triggers? All right, second thing with that, I want you to put, be real to yourself. Know your triggers. If there's certain people that know how to push your buttons, what do you need to do? If there's certain things that you know, see, you've got to be proactive in this thing. You know you better quit living the dream of saying, well, I don't have any issues, I don't have any problems, I'm good. No, cut all that out. God can't use us to the full potential until we lay it all on the altar and we say, Lord, I got some issues, I got some anger issues, and here are my anger issues. Be real to yourself. Know your triggers. And as you begin to know your triggers, know your buttons, express your buttons. Express your triggers. Get to know yourself. And as I close this morning, it is critical, critical that you know yourself. Some things hurt you. Somebody hurt you. Why did it hurt you? And the part about hurt is the part that we don't like to deal with, but we're talking about anger. Because every one of us are tempted to get angry, and every one of us are tempted to, you know, just go off the handle with things, maybe not physically, but in our minds. But you got to ask yourself, why did it hurt me? What are my expectations? And we're going to get into this a little bit more. And the next thing we're going to talk about is communication. You've got to be here next Sunday so you'll learn how to communicate. Right? Because I'm going to tell you, that's a key issue when it comes to anger. Because the first part of anger is we're going to build our shell, we're going to put ourselves in this, and we're not going to get out of it no more. And the sad thing about it is people live in that prison forever and never find the freedom that they need to find. What is it about you that gets you angry? And why does it get you angry? Why did what they said, or why did what they do, hurt you so bad? All right, that's your homework this week. Heads are bowed. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you, Lord, for the practicality of this word. Thank you, God, that you're a real God, that you love us beyond what we can even think love is. And I ask you, Lord, today to help us process. Every one of us deal with situations in our life that we feel like we've been treated unfair. Every one of us deal with situations in life that we feel like that we are angry with something. God, there's even times when we've been angry with you. And Lord, forgive us for those times. But we've got to learn ourselves. We've got to learn what is about us that makes us so angry. And why did it hurt us? Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.